We're thankful for Sean and his ministry, his step of faith with his family. And it's a big step for the family as well to come to a burned out camp and look to God for what he has for the future. And we at Grace Bible Fellowship would like to have a part in that ministry. And so we're thankful for you and for being with us. Thanks for sharing. When Reg called me on Friday night, he said, no pressure, but, so, no pressure, but. Oh, did he? He's a man of faith. Mother's Day. My earliest memory of childhood is my mother teaching me to pray when I was deathly afraid. And she didn't have a whole lot of influence spiritually beyond that, but it's still a vivid memory in my mind. And I'd like to focus on the mothers and mothers-to-be. What would you say if I told you that whatever you do within that realm could easily affect, if the Lord tarries, history for the next 250 years? That it's that important what mothers do. And I thank God for godly mothers. I think sometimes as I sit at my desk and watch my wife go on Facebook and watch all of the interactions with these young mothers and the things that they're going through and the trials and tribulations of daily life, and I thank God for the strength and character of the mothers that he's given us within this congregation. I'd like to turn your attention to a mother who lived from 1669 to 1742, 250 years ago approximately. I'm not very good with math, but this mother is still affecting us today. It was a woman by the name of Susanna Wesley. And I was on a site recently with I don't even know who has it, but it's the Susanna Wesley Community Center in Honolulu, Hawaii, of all places. And I was reading a biography of hers by a fellow by the name of Ronald M. Higashi. I think that's a Japanese name. But he was talking about Susanna Wesley and her influence. Now, I don't know if you know it, but even our sitting in this congregation today has been influenced by her teaching. And when she existed and lived and was part of that early movement of churches who firmly believed in the Bible and not just the organized church of England, she underwent a lot of persecution. And I just like to read some of this. I found it fascinating. Susanna Wesley said, "Help me, Lord, to remember that religion is not to be confined to the church, nor exercised only in prayer and meditation, but that everywhere I am in thy presence." Everywhere I am in thy presence. Susanna Ansley Wesley was the youngest of 25 children. Born to the family of Dr. Samuel Ansley, a well-known minister of the time. Susanna Wesley and her husband Samuel, also a minister, had 19 children in the first 19 years of marriage. Now, this is back before you had internet, electricity, indoor plumbing, all that sort of good stuff, washing machines, dryers. The time that she lived. Of those 19 children in the first 19 years, she had a lot of heartache. Only 10 lived past infancy. So you understand a mother's heart, and we've had mothers who have lost children in this congregation, and you understand that heart and what she must have gone through during that time. Susanna Wesley was an extraordinary woman, first of all devoted to God and then to her family. Her faith in God allowed the family to survive and face the grief, hardship, and poverty that filled their lives. Her conquering of adversity is still a great inspiration to all of us today. Susanna Wesley drew her inner strength from her belief in God. She took it beyond the church and integrated it into her daily family life. Her husband, Samuel Wesley, was a controversial religious and political figure of the time. The Wesley family was subject to ridicule. They were the targets of malicious acts because they were known as dissenters from the Church of England. People who disagreed with the king's and church's politics and failure to care for those in need. Their children were mocked. That must have been hard. The family crops were destroyed. And it was suspected that the rectory, or their home, was burned because of his beliefs and his teachings. Samuel himself was committed to debtor's prison for a period of time by a parishioner demanding payment for some loan. And during these very harshest of times, Susanna was committed to caring for her family the best possible way. Although resources were very limited, she started a daily school for her children in all of this. She said her primary purpose was the spiritual development of her children and the saving of their souls. Academic education was important, but never took priority over the instruction from God's Word. Each day before class, she set aside an hour to herself for scripture reading and prayer, and then led them all in singing psalms. To this day, we sing church hymns in the church that were written by Charles Wesley, or one of the other Wesleys, and it has that influence even today with the modern hymns. As a caring mother, she set aside a special time with each of her children. Those were bonding times when each child was free to discuss whatever they wanted, and she would offer motherly advice and counsel. These weekly private appointments for encouragement could be called quality time today. She developed faith, fear of God, and a resilience in each child. One historical scholar described the Wesley children as a cluster of bright, vehement, argumentative boys and girls. Sounds like some families I know. Living in a clean and high code and on the plainest fare, but drilled to soft tones, to pretty formal courtesies, with learning as an ideal, duty as an atmosphere, and the fear of God as law. This bond and sense of faith Susanna established with each of her children empowered John and Charles Wesley to go forth in confidence. They changed a nation. They changed a world through their preaching, their character, which was strengthened by their mother. Samuel Wesley, her husband, wrote this to his children: "With deep admiration, you know what you owe to one of the best of mothers. Above all, the wholesome and sweet motherly advice and counsel which she has often given you, to fear God." I'm thankful to say I could write those same words to my own dear wife, and I know many of you could as well. As we look at Christianity and mothers, I think we have to come to the realization that it is one of the most important jobs in the world. Motherhood, which starts clear back with Eve in Genesis chapter 3, and we see examples of mothers throughout the Old Testament and the New, is very important to God. And a godly mother can influence history for hundreds of years, and an ungodly mother will have that same fruit of ungodliness to carry on into generations. So it's a very important job. I know it's tiring. I know it's difficult. I know your energy flags. But it's still one of the most important jobs in the world. If we go to the New Testament in 2 Timothy, in chapter 1, where Paul is writing to this young man, Timothy. My wife and I just went through this together recently. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, according to the promise of life in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Then he says, I thank God, whom I serve with a clear conscience, the way my forefathers did, as I constantly remember you in my prayers, night and day, longing to see you, even as I recall your tears, so that I may be filled with joy. And then I want to concentrate on verse 5, chapter 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, for he says, I am mindful of the sincere faith within you that first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am sure that it is in you as well. And if we just concentrate on that one verse, we think about a grandmother Lois and a mother Eunice and a young minister Timothy. Sincere faith, I always love that word sincere, because it comes from the Latin, which means without wax. If you had a vase or something that was perfect and cast perfectly in the fire, it didn't have any cracks. And if it had cracks and they wanted to increase the value, they would take wax and rub it and polish it and make it look good, but it was still a cracked vessel. And that word comes from without wax, no cracks, no hypocrisy, no thought of deviant things from this. And so this is the type of influence that, first of all, Eunice, and it carried on through our Lois, and carried on through Timothy's mother, Eunice, through the generations, the influence that still affects us today as we read in 2 Timothy. And then if we go to chapter 3, verse 12, indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, but evil men and impostors will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. You, however, continue in the things that you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them. And he learned them from his grandmother and his mother, and of course Paul later, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And here again, that reference back to the godly influence of a grandmother, a mother, and from childhood. And then, of course, that verse that Al and I have quoted so many times, all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that the man of God or the woman of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Equipped for every good work. But this all goes right back to Lois and Eunice and generations of people who were following God and godly mothers. So keeping those verses in mind, I'd like to say I don't think there is anyone who deserves a special day more than today's mom. I like the story I used to tell about my son Stephen when he was small. And he would look up at his mother when he was, 3, 4 years old. And he was just very, very active. And he'd say, Mom, why do I have to take a nap when you're tired? Now, that's probably something that I made up from observation, but still the precept is true. It's a tiring job to be a mother, but the influence is so great. And then I also like the story that I read recently from another sermon about a 4-year-old and a 6-year-old who presented their mom with a houseplant, and they used their own money. Now this is always heartrending when the kids use their own money, and I know that little Audrey bought me a little dog to sit by my fireplace with her own money, you know, and that's precious because it was something that she gave of herself. And so they had to use their own money, but she was thrilled, of course, as a mother. And the older one of them said with a sad face, there was a bouquet that we wanted to give you at the flower shop. It was real pretty, but it was just too expensive. It had a ribbon on it that said, rest in peace. And we thought it would be just perfect since you're always, always asking for a little peace so that you can rest. Yeah. So as we look at two scriptural mothers, Timothy's mother Eunice and grandmother Lois, we understand that what's going on in these lives. I think of other women in the Bible who would go down to the river, and you know it was common practice of the Jews that when they didn't have a synagogue, they would go down to the river and have their worship service, and so that of course is where the apostles found some of the dynamic women like Lydia and others. And these ladies, if we look at what they conveyed, first of all, they communicated their faith to their children, an unvarnished true faith that was communicated to their children. Like Susanna Wesley, their faith was real, it was daily, it was incorporated into life, it was not hypocritical. It was a faith that carried through generations. True faith is not something you keep to yourself. We see that Lois undoubtedly communicated her faith to her daughter Eunice, and Eunice then communicated it to Timothy and passed this on. And I would like to hope that within this congregation we're doing the same type of thing. Question, as a mother, can you tell others what you believe and why you believe what you believe? So it's very important that your teaching is scripturally sound. It's easy to get off into the fads and religious fads of the day. And we always need to go back to our primary authority of Scripture. That verse that we said in previously, all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable. And we need to incorporate this into our children's lives. And then, of course, we go back to the Old Testament where Solomon penned in Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And Moses commanded the people, instructing them on the children in Deuteronomy. Timothy's mother, Eunice, must have recognized the importance of the Word of God in her own life and that her mother had taught her. And I believe she wanted the same for her son, Timothy. So she instilled in him that which she had been taught. Psalm 119, verse 130 says, the entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding to the simple or simple-minded. So if you want light and understanding, go to God's word. And Psalm 119:11, which is one of my favorites, that was from my college days, it was of great importance to me. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to thy word. I have laid up thy word in my heart that I might not sin against thee. And we do this because Hebrews 4:12 tells us that the word of God is quick and it's powerful and it's sharper than a two-edged sword. And it pierces even dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And right there, of course, is where I have the most problem in my own life, is the thoughts and intent of my heart. And I have to go to Scripture for my guidance and direction. Another thing these ladies did was they started their communication at an early age. From a child thou hast known the Holy Scripture, is what that verse said in chapter 3. So there's no such thing as starting too soon when it comes to teaching a child the Word of God. And another thing that I found very significant is that it was filled with salvation. Their teaching was filled with salvation and understanding the relationship of man and God. Children need to come to an early understanding that they are sinners and why they are sinners and what it means in their life. Children need to come to an understanding that sin brings forth death, spiritual death. And children need to learn there is no way they can attain salvation on their own. They need to be led into this new relationship with Jesus Christ. Children need to learn that Jesus loves them and has paid the price for their sin. So children need to learn that they must believe that Jesus died for their sin, that he was buried and he rose again from the grave, and if they place their faith and trust in him for salvation, he will save them. I did that when I was 8 years old, and it was an aunt, my mother's sister, who led me to the Lord. But it's the place of the mother who should be doing this. So as we look back at Lois and Eunice, their communication was scripturally sound. It was started at an early age. It was salvation-centered. It was centered around the Savior. So what we need to do as mothers and fathers, of course, is tell them about Jesus, the story of Jesus. That's the lasting influence. Is your faith going to endure beyond your life? We see that Susanna Wesley's did, and Eunice's did, and Lois's did, and other mothers that we could name countless of them. What kind of influence is your faith having on your children? I know you grow weary, but it's something you need to struggle through and work through. In conclusion, I'd like to say that we need the influence of godly mothers more in this generation probably than any in the last 500 years. You heard Sean say that it's difficult to find young men who are grounded and faithful and have integrity and understanding, and that's a shame. It shouldn't be that way. Oh, how we need the influence of godly mothers and godly grandmothers in this generation we're living in. And really, it's no different than the generation Timothy lived in. If we look around us, it is perverse and evil. But God overrules. I think of the difficult circumstances of Susanna Wesley's life, and yet there was a joy and a comfort and a teaching and an education and an influence that is with us even today. God overrules. I had that scripture read in Proverbs 31. You know Proverbs 31 about the woman who sells in the street? And my stepfather that I led to the Lord, he said, oh yeah, I like that one about the lady that sells girdles in the street. And I had to go back and look at that again because I wasn't quite sure what he meant. But it is a powerful proverb and a powerful word from God. Proverbs 31:25, and I'll leave you with this, said, strength and dignity are her clothing, and she smiles at the future. She opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and bless her, her husband also, and he praises her, saying, many daughters have done nobly, but you exceed them all. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the product of her hands, and let her work praise her in the gates. There may be some of you here this morning who are weary and think that your influence isn't important. But it is. Being a mother is one of the most important jobs in the universe. And how fitting we have a special day to celebrate. Let's pray. Father, how grateful we are. How truly grateful that there are so many in this church who truly believe your words and teach your faithfulness and your precepts. And we know, Father, that this will endure through the generations. Thank you, Father, for your word. And Lord, hold each one of us accountable to do your will. In Christ's name, amen.